Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. I almost forgot I was coming up here for a minute. I'm just going to get right to it because we have food downstairs. So, this morning I wanted to talk about something that I think is a common struggle among Christians, believers. And that is maintaining a proper mindset. And by that I mean a biblical, God-approved, Holy Spirit-inspired state of mind. Which is not always an easy task. In fact, sometimes it seems downright impossible. Any parents out there probably have experience with that. But really, you know, life gets crazy between work, school, you have sports, band, choir, whatever. It gets hectic. And we're constantly moving. We're constantly just being, you know, living this life. And it gets really easy to let your guard down. And that makes it easy to let those little thoughts just kind of creep in. You know, I've heard it said that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And I think there is a lot of truth to that. Because when we're busy, that's when we're most vulnerable. You know, we make ourselves easy targets. And our focus is elsewhere. You know, we're distracted easily. And I think it's vital to be aware of that as a Christian, to be aware of our thoughts, our minds, you know, where we're at, where our focus is. I don't know if there's any John Crist fans in here, but he does a little bit on that where, you know, it's grabbing the good thoughts and shooing away the bad. You know, it's like, oh, you know, these are good ones. I'm going to take those and take them in, and I'll, you know, those thoughts need to get out of here. And, you know, it says in Philippians 4:8 that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. FYI, single guys, not talking about the ladies there. Just thought I'd throw that out. You know, it's like one of those Christian pickup lines, you know, like, hey, girl, whatever's lovely I should think about. Thinking about you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Matthew's not taking notes. Good job. But, oh, gosh, where was I? whatever is commendable, if there's anything worthy about praise, think on these things. So the question then becomes, how? So to answer that, if you guys would turn with me to Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at starting in verse 5. Sorry, I had this set up and then I looked up some different verses. So Romans 8, starting in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of the sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you for the Spirit, and God, just help us to take in what you have for us. Amen. So the first point I want to look at today is set your mind on the Spirit. The first thing I get from this text is that call to set your mind on the Spirit, and it says in verse 5. You know, easy enough, right? Like I talked about earlier, grabbing those thoughts. You know, spiritual thoughts, spiritual thoughts, spiritual thoughts. Okay, that one wasn't so spiritual. But, unless maybe, you know, maybe God cares about how the Broncos do this season, I don't know. But it's not always easy. You know, even in church sometimes we sit here and our minds wander. We're singing a song and clapping, and before you know it, we're on the chorus, and I'm still singing the verse. So, and there's lots of ways, lots of things that the Bible lays out for us to do to keep our minds set on the Spirit. Prayer, Bible study, fellowship. You know, all of them are awesome. All of them are key ingredients to this. But today, I kind of wanted to focus on one that I think kind of encompasses all of that. And that is worship. I think worship is a key ingredient to having a spiritual mindset. And it's not hard to have a proper outlook if you're focused on the greatness of God. And that's where true worship is. It encompasses all the praying, the Bible study, you know, if you're focused on God's greatness. If you place God where he belongs in your life, if you make him a priority and express your love and devotion to him, it's more than just, you know, singing some songs and clapping your hands. That is worship. But true worship is a lifestyle. It is part of getting that mindset right. I'm going to live to worship God. Does this thing that I'm thinking about glorify God? Does this thing that I want to do glorify God? So it's more than just singing. It is lifestyle, and it's an invitation for God to come and fellowship with us. In your prayer time, in your Bible study time, that's what you're doing. You're saying, God, speak to me. Holy Spirit, come, empower me, strengthen me. Proclaim Jesus as your Savior. These are all forms of worship that help you get into that proper mindset. In his book, Desiring God, John Piper writes, true worship comes only from spirits made alive and sensitive by the quickening of the Spirit of God. Those who worship God worship him in spirit and truth. You know, we sang about that this morning. God's Spirit ignites us. It energizes our spirits. In order to have a lifestyle of worship, we have to be born again in the Spirit. And that's, you know, that's what Jesus and Nicodemus are talking about. It's not going back in your mom's womb and being born again. It's God, the Holy Spirit, entering your life and bringing that Spirit to life so that you are empowered and you are capable of true worship, because you can't do it without it. God's Spirit gives us life. And that's the second point to look at this morning, is to set your mind on life. You know, as I illustrated earlier, you grab onto the good thoughts, you hang on to them, hold them tight. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to take our thoughts captive. And I love the visual here. You know, it's like a police drama TV show. You know, I finally caught that thought that I've been chasing. You know, and it's, here it is sitting in the chair across from me, across from, like, you know, some metal table with a light shining in its eyes. You know, I got you, thought. Tell me everything you know. But, you know, and seriously, that's not far from the truth. I think that's the kind of attitude we need to have towards our thoughts. We need to be aware of them. We need to, like it says, bring them into obedience to Christ. Because the reality of the situation, guys, is we are in a war. Amen? I mean, we're surrounded and invaded by this culture that just, I mean, it just oozes death. And not just physical, but spiritual. I mean, these are very, very dark times. And it's so important that our minds are set on life. You know, people, I'm sorry, I'm going to get a little, not personal here, but we're going to get dark for a minute. People murder their unborn children, and they call it health care. You know, they call it women's rights. Hollywood pumps death violence, vulgarity, not in just the theaters, but in our own houses, you know? Video games glorify murder. I mean, one of the biggest selling games is about stealing cars and killing policemen. And we just dismiss it as entertainment. And it scares me. I mean, I have kids. And I know where this world is going. And I know where I don't want them to go. Amen? Every day you hear about suicides. I just saw a statistic the other day, and I can't remember it on suicides, but the suicide rate has just skyrocketed, not just here in the Valley, but, you know, nationwide. Drive-bys, overdoses. You turn on the evening news, guys, you're bombarding yourself with negativity and death, and we need to set our minds on life. You know, the Word calls us to that. And we need to set our minds, as it says, on the Spirit, because that is life and peace. And I think this world needs a little more life and peace in it. You know, it's up to us to answer that call, to stand up for the weak and the innocent, to pray for those that are hurting, to encourage the downcast. I mean, they're among us. They're our coworkers. They're our friends, our family. People that are struggling that need Jesus' love. And this is the example that Jesus set for us. This is what He has called us to do, is to reach out to these people. And James tells us in chapter 1, verse 27, that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faithless is to look after orphans and widows. You know, in other words, see to the needs of those around you. Be a light to the end of in this darkness. James finishes the verse by telling us to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Folks, we live in a very polluted world, don't we? And so, we need to set our minds on the Spirit. We need to set our minds on life. And the third point, and I know I'm going a little fast, sorry, I'm hungry. The third point is set your mind on righteousness. As it says in verse 10 here, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And whose righteousness is that? It's not mine. And I don't think it's yours. but as Christians, we are constantly under attack from Satan, from the world, from the flesh. As Johnny Cash said, and you probably didn't expect to hear Johnny Cash quote Sunday morning service, but he said, being a Christian isn't for sissies. It takes a real man to live for God a lot more than to live for the devil. Amen? He's not wrong. He's not wrong. And it's not always easy to choose to do the right thing. I ask my kids, that's something I try to pound into their heads. Do the right thing. Make the right choice, you know? But it's not easy. Oftentimes, the easy thing is not the right thing. And coincidentally, bad choices don't require a lot of thought or effort. I've come to discover that in my own life. You know, just ask my mom over there. My brothers make a lot of bad choices. I'm her favorite. No, but seriously, in this world, we fight temptations, we fight hardships, we fight anxiety, bitterness, you know, the list goes on and on. And how do we fight it? How do we overcome if our mindset isn't right, if it's not set on the Spirit and life and righteousness? You know, we can't. We just can't. We have to fill our lives, fill our minds with prayer, fill our thoughts with God's Word. You know, study the Bible, get into it, dig deep, and fill our lives with worship. You know, praise God, lift Him up, thank Him for everything He's done for you, because it is immeasurable. And there's nothing could ever be done to repay that. It's a free gift from God. And I'm going to get a little bit into the armor of God here. Not all of it, but the helmet of salvation. You know, God talks about that in Ephesians 6. And it got me thinking, talking about the mind, helmet. Why is the helmet categorized by salvation? And I think because helmets cover your heads. And you know, that's where our brains are. Mine is. Maybe some people's isn't, but I'm not going there. But the helmet of salvation, it protects our thoughts, it protects our minds from Satan's fiery darts, from the enemy's attacks that seek to steal our salvation and our joy and our spirit. You know, the stuff that Jesus provided through his death and resurrection, that free gift that I mentioned. So that helmet is so important, guys. And we are in a war. We are surrounded by an enemy that hates us and wants us to be destroyed. And it's sometimes overwhelming, very overwhelming. Our culture, our social media, they work overtime to normalize sin. You know, they really do. Because if they can normalize it, if they can make it seem like, well, God said don't do this, but times have changed. Well, God hasn't changed. You know, and all this stuff is just right there. You know, I mentioned abortion earlier. I'm sorry if I step on toes. Homosexuality, extramarital affairs, gender fluidity, anti-Semitism. I mean, it's a constant influx. And I mean, I could go on for a long time. I think I made the point. I don't want to get too far into that. But the good news is we're not helpless. We're not alone. In fact, we're not even fighting this battle. Amen? God's already fought the battle. Jesus has victory on the cross. You know, it's not up to us to go out there and armor up and just pound people. That's not what God called us to do. He called us to love. God didn't leave us defenseless. And he didn't leave us without weapons. We have the Holy Spirit. We have his word. And I'm reminded of Elijah when he was at the end of his rope. He was ready to pack it in and just give up. And God provided food for him and told him to rest. And that just hit me. Never underestimate the spiritual power of a nap and a snack. I mean, amen? You know, Elijah woke up with a whole new attitude. You know, maybe he was hangry. But at the end of the day, we serve a God who not only knows our needs, but is capable of meeting those needs. John 16:33, Jesus tells us that the world will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And that's what it boils down to. Our faith, our hope, our trust, our mindset needs to be on Jesus. He's already overcome. We just have to focus on him. We have to keep him first in our lives. Praise God. We need to follow his example of loving others, setting our minds on the Spirit, and worship God. We need to accept the truth of who Jesus is. And it changes everything. You know, all the other stuff fades away when God is on the throne that he belongs in your life. And when we set our minds on righteousness, when we put on the helmet of salvation, not just the helmet, but the whole armor of God, and when we stand firm on God's holy word, then we can win the battle of the mind. Amen? Amen? God gave us that gift. He gave us the ability to do these three things. And it's a battle that we can't afford to lose, guys. It's an eternal battle. So, as I mentioned earlier, there's food downstairs. So I'm going to close us in prayer and go ahead and ask a blessing over that. And feel free, even if you didn't bring anything, please feel free to come down and join us. So I'll just close us and bless the meal right now. Father, thank you for your word. God, let it touch our hearts and our minds. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to fellowship and for the food that was provided, God. And we ask a special blessing, Father, on anybody who's struggling to fight this battle, God. Help them to just turn to you, Father, and set their mind on these things and to know you more in their lives. And Father, we just thank you for all that you've done for us and bless our time of fellowship and our food. Amen.